Okay? And if you notice at this church, there's men and women in there. There's a child here and a couple children here. But there's uniformed officers in the church. Do you think they're part of the church service? What do you think you're doing? Yeah, you're right. They do. What do you think those officers are doing? Well, I see this officer right here having a clipboard, and she's talking to a woman who's attending church. You think she's asking about her favorite recipe? What do you think she's doing? They're interrogating them. As a matter of fact, if you can see it, and you probably can't very well, but they took the pastor. I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry. I can't do that. But they took the pastor, the preacher, and five others and interrogated him for several hours. And in June, the church was raided twice, fined $7,500 for holding religious activities in unregistered building. And the church has been pressured to join the state church, the state religion, for the past 8 years, but they're not doing it. Why do you come to church? I mean, think about it. Why do these people come to church? If you came to church knowing that a police officer would be at church to greet you, he would write down your name, your number, your address, where you live, your family members, would you still come to church if that happened? I'm the preacher, and I have a hard enough time coming to church some days. What does that give you for perspective on a morning like this? We've got it pretty easy. We've got it pretty easy. You know, I can't imagine. We have one officer among us today. It's Doug. But Jason's here some days. Can you imagine some point those guys being told by the government, you've got to go to Sheridan Christian Church and take down people's names because if they don't follow the state religion, you're going to have to arrest them? There you go. Folks, there's a lot to pray about, and you just see those people right there. That picture is hardly more than 2 weeks old. How good do you have it this morning? Praise God indeed. So as we consider that, I just want to encourage you. That's just one email I got this week from Voice of the Martyrs, just one email. And I get several a week that have several churches like that across the world. Wow. Jesus, we love you, and I'm just amazed at your Christian people across this world who choose to go to church when they know they're going to be persecuted, when they know their names are going to be written down, and they know that their arrest or their death is imminent. And they still go to church. Lord, we've all been here. We've been in positions in which we've given ourselves and justified reasons not to be at church, to be a part of the fellowship of believers. And I'm just convicted. I've got nothing on these people. I'm amazed. So Lord, help us to be prayerful. Help us to be thoughtful, prayerfully thoughtful on how we can pray for the church here, pray for the church there, that God may be glorified and that Jesus is exalted in our lives. Whether we have an officer taking down our name or whether we're sitting next to an officer who's worshiping the name of Jesus. Lord, we certainly need your help. Help us to repent to you. In Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, Jess, get recorded okay, buddy? Thank you. Thumbs up. Well, it happened almost 50 years ago. Almost 50 years ago. And people still do not believe it. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my mom a little over a week ago. And I say, Mom, what were you doing? And she says, I was watching Ed Sullivan. Has anybody ever watched Ed Sullivan? I never have. Anyway, Ed Sullivan's show, and I was home from LPN school. Mom and Dad were living in Columbia at the time, but Mom was up home, which is in Plevna, Missouri. I know you have no idea where that is, and that's okay. But she says, I was watching Ed Sullivan's show, and then this came on. It was July 20th. 1969. You remember that? I don't quite remember that. July 20th, 1969 was when that happened. Mom said she stayed home from LPN school today. She said she wasn't feeling very good, but she also, I think, probably wanted to stay home and watch what was going to happen on the television. And I asked Mom last week, I said, hey, Mom, what did you think about that when you saw that on TV? She says, I thought it was interesting. And do you know there are still people out there who believe what? It didn't happen. It's not real. It's fake news. That's right. If fake news was happening before, it became popular now. And it's fake news. And so as I hear that and I think about that, I wonder, what's the deal? Why are people like that? I think people like that because we really have a hard time believing things. We really, really do. And it's been polled among Americans. I found this interesting. 6 to 20% of Americans still believe that the lunar landing was a fake. And we all know it happened in Arizona. So then why do we bring that up? And why is it bringing up this morning? Well, we bring up this morning because I think we need to understand something about ourselves. And it kind of reminds me of a student and a teacher dialogue. You know, we have kids getting ready to go back to school and all the parents said, yes! Anyway, it reminds me of a student-teacher dialogue, and the student goes to school, and it's apparent that the student's a Christian, the teacher's kind of hostile towards Christianity, and the student brings up God, and the teacher just kind of waylays the student with some questions. Well, can you touch God? The student stammers, no. Can you see God? And the student says, no. There isn't a God. And the student then kind of was quiet for a moment, then asked the teacher, well, can you touch your brain? Teacher, no. Can you see your brain? Teacher, no. Then by your logic, teacher, you shouldn't have a brain. You see, the reason we have such a hard time to things is because of our senses. And you probably know this is true about yourself. But when it comes to spiritual things, what comes to mind when you hear the word spiritual? What comes to mind? Unseen, that's good, unseen, yes, I'm the same way, unseen. And it seems to me, when it comes to people, especially us as Christians, I don't know why we do this, it seems to me that we have this concept of the spiritual realm. We don't know exactly what it means, it's hard to define, but in a sense, we know what it is, and it's hard to determine that in our minds, but we kind of have this concept. But then again, there's also those who choose to be naive about it. And I believe naivety is a choice. And why do many people choose to be blinded to spiritual things? We just simply don't see it. Or don't want to see it. And I think that's choosing to be naive. I don't think naivety is a virtue. I think it's a choice. Why do we choose to be naive about spiritual matters? Well, I think what it is because it's a non-physical part of our lives. It's non-physical. And so when it's non-physical, sometimes it's hard for us because often we choose not to believe unless we see, hear, feel, taste, smell, or touch. You see, those are all of our senses, and unless we have those senses in engaging us, we have a hard time believing it. Is this really true? I mean, come on, I'm not so sure that's so true. And so spiritual, it's a hard word to define, but just the same, we seem to know what it is. And spiritually, we can't readily see the spiritual realm, but there are times we go, what was that? I don't know if that's a feeling or a thought, but what was that? And it remains mostly unseen. So let's just ask some questions this morning. You know, God does a great job for us in the Bible. Rick was so right. You know, if you got your Bible, you can accomplish anything. So here's a thought. Let's help us understand the spiritual. Okay? So first question we have today, if you follow along in your sermon outline, you can find it right there. Here it is. This is an easy question. I know you can get this. Who made you? God. You know, anybody, you ask a third grader in Sunday school time, and matter of fact, Avery can tell you that. She's going to kindergarten in 10 days. Sad for Grandpa. Anyway, who made you? God made you, okay? And so let's ask the next question. Since God made you, who are you fashioned after? Well, you're fashioned after God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that. If you look in Genesis 1:27, let's read this together, okay? God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is what we know about us. We are all made in the image of who? Even men and women. Yes, men and women. That's why marriage is so critical to God, because when men and women are together, there are never more representation of God than when two people are married. Okay? Married. And so think about this. Let's continue to ask some questions. Since God made us and we are fashioned like God, well, what is God fashioned like? That's a challenging question, or is it? Well, the Bible answers it. Here it is. God is what? God is spirit. So in John 4:24, it tells us God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So now we're starting to get a better understanding of not only who God is, but also who else? Us. Okay? So stay with me. Here we go. Since we are made in God's image and God is spirit, are you more spiritual or physical? That's right. You're more spiritual, okay? And we just went through that deductive reasoning. You are more spiritual than physical. Now, I know some of you are thinking this morning, but preacher, I took a lot of Aleve, Tylenol, just to get to church this morning. I know that's true. But I also know, too, that you are more spiritual than you are physical. Now, since you are made in God's image and God is spirit, you are more, again, spiritual than physical. So then we ask the question, what is spiritual warfare? Well, what is warfare? When warfare comes to mind, what do you think of? Fighting. Fighting, okay. Remember, our book is Victory in Spiritual Warfare. That's a sermon series for the next 8 weeks. So warfare is what? Fighting, conflict. Okay, basic definition of warfare is engagement in or the activities in war or conflict. Okay, so since we understand something about God, since God is spirit, does God have spiritual warfare? Yes, that's the excellent answer. Yes, okay. But what does the Bible say about that? If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Revelation, okay? And eventually we're going to get over to Ephesians, but right now we're going to be in Revelation, all right? That's the last book of the New Testament. Revelation 12, 7 through 9, okay? Great text. I love this. Now here we go. And there was a war where? What's your Bible say? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place. Where? In heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. You know, in that scene, it tells us that Michael and his angels were fighting against the devil and his angels, okay? And those angels are now called what? Demons, okay? Now, verse 4, it tells us actually how many angels left heaven to go with the devil. Someone give me a fraction. How many was it? A third. A third of the heavenly host left heaven with the devil to go be with the devil where? On earth. What a prize, huh? So let's ask some questions about what we just read. Where did the conflict occur? It occurred in heaven. Is heaven spiritual or physical? Heaven is spiritual. Okay, heaven is a spiritual realm. So then the conflict that Michael and his angels had with Satan and his angels, was it more spiritual or physical? It was spiritual. It was spiritual warfare, spiritual conflict. Now, some of us are saying this, whew, I'm glad I avoided that. because we have a sermon series on spiritual warfare, and I can see right now it's Michael and his angels fighting against the devil and his demons. That means I'm not a part of it. I can skip church for 8 weeks. Is that the way it works? But what's the Bible say about that? Okay? It says they're here. That's exactly right. If we look in Revelation, still continue Revelation, Revelation 12, if we look in 13 and 17, I'm going to read this, okay? It's on your screen. I'm going to read this, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to read the underline when we get to it, okay? So here we go. When the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. I'm amazed by people sometimes when they read Revelation, they say, I can't understand any of it, what they do. They close the book and don't read it. Well, you're missing two key elements. We preached on Revelation a number of years ago. Look, I underline the obvious points. You may not understand who the woman is. We can talk till the cows come home. That doesn't matter. What matters to me is this. Who keeps the commandments of God? Christians do. Who speak of Jesus? Testimony. We do. Who's the dragon? Satan's the dragon. Satan is doing what? He's at war with who? Us. Do you get it? He's at fighting with people who obey the commandments of God and people who are willing to have a testimony of Jesus Christ. He's fighting with them. Okay, so let's get a visual illustration of this. If you are a person here this morning who wants to follow God's commands and speak of Jesus, please stand up. Please stand up. If you're one of those people, please stand up. Okay, if you can't stand up, just raise your hand and do one of these things. Okay, there you go. Okay, I see hands going up. They can't stand up. Okay, God, thank you, Alex. Those old legs back there. Okay, now, as you look around you, suddenly you don't see them as people. Now you see them as who? Christians, but Christians how? Spiritually, and what's going on in their lives? War. Every person who's standing in this room or has their hand up is at war with who? War at demon with demons. Every person in this room who claims to want to follow God's commands and is a testimony of Jesus, if you look at this person, you have to see them a different perspective. You have to see them as someone who is now engaging who in war? Satan. These people that are around you are at war. Now look at somebody and say, don't give up, keep fighting. Look at him, say it. Keep fighting. Come on, don't give up. All right, you can sit down. Thank you. Now look. As a Christian, you can sit down, Ralphie. You can stand all if you want, but it's up to you, man. Look, you can't avoid it. You cannot avoid spiritual warfare. You can't. You can avoid it. Let me rephrase that. You can avoid it if you do two things. If you disobey God's commandments, or you refuse to talk about, if you refuse to do those things, you will not be in spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't care about you. And if the devil doesn't care about you, you better be figuring out really quick that something's wrong with you. So having said that, I have still had Christian people come up to me and say, why should I care about spiritual warfare? I don't want to know about it. Because I don't want Satan coming down on me and getting after me. Well, you just learned no matter what, war's coming to who? You. Last week, Stephanie and I were coming home from vacation, just the two of us. I told you that, right? The two of us. And we were coming home on vacation. We was going on 130, was on 36 Highway there at St. Joe, going to head north on 29. My wife's driving. We share the driving sometimes. And so she's driving, and every patrolman knows the white van that she's driving. Anyway, we're going on the on-ramp. Onto I-29. We're talking back and forth. Had a great visit on that particular stretch of highway. Had a great visit. She's on the on-ramp accelerating. My wife accelerates well. Accelerating. And at the same time, we look up. Whoa! There's someone stopped on the on-ramp. Does anybody ever want just to get out and yell at those people when that happens? Yes, thank you, Austin. It's like, and we're both eating the dashboard And as we're braking hard, we go from 50 plus mile an hour down to zero. We sit and look at each other and realize traffic where? Behind us. And praise God, there was nobody behind us. And so we didn't end up hitting them. Praise God, she stopped in time. And praise God, there was no one behind us. Why do people brake on the on-ramp? Traffic. Not just traffic. What is it about the traffic? What is it? They're what? They're afraid. They're afraid. You see, I just want to share with you something. And I'm not a policeman, but I'm just going to suggest to you something. That when you're in a car and you're driving, you are traffic. And when you're in a vehicle and driving, you are in traffic. Okay? So when you're in a vehicle and driving, it's not just about you. It's about who else? People around you. And because of this person's fear of traffic, I really expected an old woman driving the car being scared. It wasn't. It was a young person. It was a young person. And they had to have been so full of fear that they thought, I'll never be able to merge in the traffic safely, so I'll be afraid and I will stop. And by standing still, they actually endangered two sets of lives. Whose life? Theirs and who else's? Mine and even the people behind us. They endangered lots of people's lives. And by sitting still and not moving forward, they actually could have killed themselves and even killed my wife and I. You see, it's the same way for the spiritual realm. You've got to understand this as a Christian. You've got to understand this. You must understand this. As a Christian with Christ in your life, I forgot that screen. But as a Christian with Christ in your life, look, you are in the spiritual realm. That's not on your sermon PowerPoint. I put it in there this morning because I thought this was so important to capitalize on. Remember, are you more spiritual or physical? You're more spiritual. You are more spiritual. Which means, I'm going to go back, the devil's at war with God and God's angels, and the devil is also at war with people who follow the commands of God and are willing to be a testimony of Jesus. You can't escape it, folks. You are in traffic. And when you choose to stop, and I'm not going to learn any more about this spiritual truth, whose lives are you endangering? Yours and the people around you. Folks, we got to wake up. We got to choose not to be naive about this. Not to be naive. And so we have to prepare. If we're not preparing for this spiritual truth, war's coming and you're not going to be ready. And you very well could die and someone else could die around you. Here's the twist. I almost wanted to have, was it Chuck Berry who made the twist? I almost wanted to have the twist video this morning. Here's the twist for us to understand that you're missing something else. You see, the twist in our story is this. Yes, there's a reality check that if you don't move forward in the spiritual truth, the spiritual warfare, you're actually inviting death into your life. That's the truth. You're inviting death into your life if you're not choosing to learn about spiritual warfare. But again, here's a twist. Because I think you're going to miss a blessing. You say, what are you talking about? Well, there's a blessing coming. Now, I'm almost certain of this, that most of you did not wake up this morning and said, man, I hope I get to go to church today and miss a blessing. Did you say that today when you got up? I hope there's so many spiritual truths in church today that I just walk away and got none of it. Do you say that? Okay, I want to give you three blessings just today. Matter of fact, I don't want to give you three blessings. God's Word does. And there's three truths about the spiritual realm that everyone must know. We must know these things. And because to know these things is a blessing. Okay, so number one is this. Here it is. Every blessing I would ever want is in the heavenly or spiritual realm. Every blessing I would ever want is in the heavenly or spiritual realm. So I'll go to Ephesians. If you got your Bibles, go to Ephesians now, okay? So Galatians and then Ephesians is how we find that book of the Bible. Ephesians 1, verse 3. So right to the right of Galatians is Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in who? In Christ. Okay, so remember, we love asking questions of God's Word, because when we ask questions of God's Word, we learn something, because questions really help us think, okay? So here's a thought. We look at that verse. Now look at that verse, and we're going to look at some questions. Here it is. Question number one. God has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings in the heavenly places or spiritual realm? How many? All of them, okay? Every one of them. It says every. That's what it says in your verse. It says every, okay? Here's the next question. How many blessings does every blessing cover? All of them, okay? All of them, all right? So where are all and every one of my spiritual blessings that God gave me? Well, they are in the heavenly places or the spiritual realm, okay? Next question. In who are all and every one of my spiritual blessings that God gave me? Well, they're in Christ. This is an amazing piece of information that Paul's given us. And so as you think about that, is it any wonder that Paul, when he wrote the church in Colossae, said this in Colossians 3:2? Let's read this together. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Because when you set your mind on the things above, how many spiritual blessings are you getting? All of them. Every one that God has for you. That we have our thoughts down here, we're missing it. You know, what could happen if you took this prayer this week and went to God with it? So let's read this prayer together. Jesus, how can I experience all and every blessing you want for me in you in the heavenly places or spiritual realm? Great prayer. Two, Jesus, my Savior, is in the heavenly or spiritual realm. Jesus, my Savior, is in the heavenly or spiritual realm. Let's go to Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. Great text. Here it is. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, where? In the heavenly realms. I've had a chance this past month to learn a lot from a particular family. You see, there's a little house north of Allendale that's a stone house. It's a nice, quaint little place. And as you go up that house, you would have saw a couple, 3 weeks ago, a ramp into the front door, and then you walk into the living room. That house is where Burton Miller lives. Now, some of you may not know Burton, but Burton just became a widow this past week. I would like to say that Brenda did not lose her battle to cancer. Brenda won because she's with Jesus. But as you walk in that door, you walk up that ramp and you walk through that door, and I had a chance to do that several times this past month, and several of you have done the same thing. I know you have because we've talked. As you walked in the door, there was Brenda's hospital bed. And Brenda was there in her bed. And there on the west side of the house, the west wall, is a picture of her family. And then right below that wall was a great big space of white, just white-colored wall. And I happened to go there Monday morning after she had died, and Bert and I were there talking beside the bedside, and Brenda hadn't had a chance to leave yet with Gary and his crew, the funeral director. And Burton said this, I'll never forget. He said, you know, she's been in a coma for several days. And she couldn't talk, couldn't move. But as she was laying there, she looked at that white part of that wall, and she raised up her hand and said, I'll see you soon. Then she put her hand back down. And then she did it one more time. She raised up her hand, looked towards the white part of that wall, and says, I'll see you soon. And her hand went down. She never spoke anymore. And Burton, of course, he's a quick-witted guy, if you know Burton. He tried to say, Brenda, who are you talking to? She couldn't respond or didn't respond. But she says, I'll see you soon. Now, I choose to believe that Brenda had fruit in her life, which tells me that because of her fruit in her life, that she's a Christian. It took 58 years for her body to give up her life. Some of us, it takes 80 years or longer. But some of us have an accelerated path on death. But I think most of you know this. We're not going to get out of here, folks, alive. We're going to die. And as I think about that, the point is this. As I consider where Jesus is, you know, the verse told us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places or spiritual realm. And so my question for all of us is, who and where are you looking as you are living out your life? Who and where are you looking as you're living out your life? For the life of me, I can't figure out why I want to do anything different than look at who. And I do. I'm guilty of that. I'm reminded of Stephen in Acts 7. Remember Stephen in Acts 7? He was being stoned to death, and the Apostle Paul was there watching the whole thing before he became a Christian. He was watching the whole thing, and Stephen was stoned to death. And remember what Stephen said? Stephen looked to the sky and said, who? Said, saw who? He saw Jesus stand at the right hand of God. I'm amazed by that. Folks, we got to understand this. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who saved us from the very depths of hell, is located where? He's in the heavenly places. And my eyes have got to be where? I've got to focus on that. So think about this. Maybe take this prayer home this week and maybe talk to Jesus about this prayer with you. Just write it down or else take it with you. So let's read this together. Jesus, I get so distracted by the physical and forget you are my goal in the heavenly places. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and help me repent to you. Oh, excellent prayer. Third thing is, as a Christian, I am in the heavenly or spiritual realm. As a Christian, I am in the heavenly or spiritual realm. That's where I'm at. Now, if you look at the Bible, Ephesians 2, verse 6. Okay, look at the Bible, Ephesians 2, verse 6. All right, here it says this. And God raises us up with Christ. Who's he raise up? Us. This is Ephesians 2, 6. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in, what's that person's name? Christ Jesus. And God raises up with Christ and seat us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, where are you this morning? Come on, where are you? I'm trying to challenge you a little bit. Where are you? Okay, you're in Sheridan. You're in Sheridan this morning, all right? And if you knew the church address, you'd say, well, I'm at 309 West Jefferson in Sheridan, Missouri, zip code 64486. Okay? That's where I am. When Vern and I go pick up somebody in the ambulance, we got to know an address, but in this part of the country, we say, turn left at the oak tree down the big hill and you'll find us. The point of fact is, you've got to have an address to know where you are. We know the address, right? But is this the only place you are? What did you just read? Okay? As a Christian, think about this. As a Christian, your being or personhood changed address from this realm to the heavenly realm at one point. That's when it changed. At one point it changed. Okay, because it just said that in Ephesians 2, 6, that I'm with Christ in the heavenly places. I'm with Christ. So when did that happen? Well, when did God raise me up to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms? I'm glad you asked that. Okay, there it is. Ready? Look on the right side of the screen. It's Colossians 2, 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were what? Raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. It's so obvious. When we're immersed underwater into Christ, who raises us up? It says it's a work of God. And it also says it's through what? If you don't have faith in what God's doing in your life, you're not raised up. You just got wet. So through faith, you let God raise you up from the grave and the waters of baptism, and you then got seated with Christ. So, Colossians 3:1. Let's read this verse together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Folks, it only makes sense, doesn't it? Where's our focus got to be? Right, is anybody feeling conviction at this point where you've been looking? Where's your focus?
And so when we were immersed into Christ by faith underwater, you're buried with Jesus, and that same moment he raised you up with Jesus Christ. And so then Paul says, hey, look, keep looking up. Where did Stephen look when he was being stoned to death? He looked up. He looked exactly up because he knew where he was going. Ephesians 2:6, Christ is seated in the right hand of God. Stephen, Acts 7, Christ seated at the right hand of God. Right here, this verse tells me Christ seated at the right hand of God. Where's Jesus? Where's your focus? It needs to be. It must be. So then as a Christian, I'm here, but I'm really there. I'm physically here, but I'm more spiritual, and I'm spiritually there. Tony Evans said this in his video we watched on Wednesday. You are physically here, but spiritually there. And so the question is, have you by faith been immersed underwater to be one with Jesus, to be present with Jesus in the heavenly places? Have you done that? Wakey, 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 wakey. Have you done that?
Yes.
And so the question for us is, Jesus, how does that look? Let's read this together. Jesus, how does that look in everyday life for me to be physically here but spiritually there with you? I love that question. Take that home and ask Jesus that question. Well, in practical terms, we've got to figure out how this looks in everyday life. So I've asked Derek and Jess to give me a hand this morning, okay? To give me a hand this morning to help us practically understand what this looks like, okay? Now, this last verse is a verse that Tony really wants you to memorize this week. And so I can't memorize scripture. Don't tell that to yourself. You can memorize anything you want. Remember the old days where we had cell phones? How many phones do you have in your head? All of them? Right? All of them? Okay. Grab that bat there, Jess. Okay, so when we think about the concept of the devil, Jess is not the epitome of the devil. I'm not saying that, but he makes a pretty good one this morning. He's all dressed in black. He's got a wiffle ball bat.
This is how I normally dress.
Oh, okay. All right. Good taste. Anyway, Derek and I are playing Christians. And so because Jess is the devil, he's now at what with Derek and I because we're Christians? He's at war with us. Okay? So I'm going to have Derek stand right here. Okay? And I'm right here. And we are currently being engaged by war. Oh, okay. At some point, we're going to involve Jesus in this conversation. You'll know when that's going to be. But because as Christians, we're at war with who? Satan. We tend to do this. You know, you preached 2 weeks ago. And you only preached 15 minutes, you jerk. The whole stinking church loved you because of that. I can't believe that you do that.
Yes.
Because you do this, I get caught. Ouch! I wish you wouldn't preach longer next time you preach. Okay? I cannot believe that you act the way you do on Sunday mornings when you come here and you choose to fill in for me and you preach a 15-minute sermon.
It's too long. It's always too long.
Okay, wait a minute. As a Christian, I'm supposed to get along with you. For the life of me, I can't figure out why, because I don't like you. So I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do something different, because I really think that if I listen to the word says that my struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the people of this world. And it really hurts talking to you. So I am going to pray right now and ask Jesus to come into our life and help us. Lord, I don't understand the pain that I feel, but I ask that Jesus, you come into our life. I'm submitted to you. I want to get along with my brother, and it just hurts. I'll just wait for you, Jesus.
Leave now, Satan.
Okay.
that feels a lot better. Hey, Derek, you are a great preacher.
Thank you.
What'd you see? I gotta have who? I gotta have Jesus. And my struggle is not against the people around me, it's against the guy who's beat me. And that hurt. Thank you, friend.
You can have that for later.
Okay, appreciate it.
Sorry, Jess. She got to sleep sometime.
And so that's just a reality check for us. Folks, it's that way. It really is that way. So, I want to just have a quiet time of prayer this morning. I don't know where you are as far as conviction time as regard to God's word and what he's talking to you about in your life. I know last week when Clint finished the message time, it was just a powerful moment of just prayer and repentance and people just praying. And so if that describes you today, then come forward. And if you have something you want to talk about, it's on your heart, say it out loud, talk about it. And let's just have a moment of silence and just pray. Jesus, we love you. And there are so many things that distract us from being the people you designed us to be. People with purpose and passion to love well, just like you. And we hurt so badly from the evil one and how he chooses to bring harm and war to our life that we actually turn on one another. And it's so unhealthy. Lord, help us to repent to you. Help us to repent to you. Thank you, Lord. And we pray at your name. Amen. I actually don't have a song this morning, and I do have a chorus that's in my head. I told Deb I have a song, and I just don't know what it is, but now I have it. And so if you can stand with me, and we'll just sing a chorus of a song. And it's not on the screen. It may be in your heart, but you'll know it once you hear it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious face. Amen. Thank you for coming. That smarted.
Be still.
Be still.
presence of heaven.